week, and happy Eid for all those who are finished fasting.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy yourselves. Happy weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m. Next up is Veterans Voice with Marvin. I can't find the music.
I can't hear anything.
I can hear you.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 FM Corvallis, and 91.9 FM Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and today Ty's my engineer, and I really appreciate him coming in and doing it. I want to say hi to a couple people when I get started here. Gary and Darla from Lincoln, Nebraska, but they're up in Chicago right now. Their grandchildren are playing a hockey game someplace, I'm not sure. And then I want to say hello down to Seal Rock, down past Newport on the coast, to some new friends that are going to be listening on the web. And I've been gone for the last 2 months. I gave my hour up for Black History Month and then for Women's History Month. And I think it's really important that they have, you know, all the time that they want to do their, to, you know, have their time on our radio station. And I mean, they're our sisters and our brothers, you know, and we need and have to support all of our friends, and this radio station is one way to do it. Because I'm going to read you something here in just a minute. But the radio station is really, really important. And if you want to support us, you can go to KBOO.FM and go up and do donation for our station. Because even with the COVID, the shutdown of everything, we still did our show. Radio station still stayed open and you know, stayed on the air and did some wonderful things. So the station is really important. Speaking of being important, Cambodian leader says radio station closure is permanent. Phnom Penh, Cambodia. A day after one of Cambodia's few independent media outlets was shut down at his order. Prime Minister Hun Sen declared that Voice of Democracy Radio will not be allowed to reopen despite pleas and protests from around the world. Voice of Democracy, better known as VOD, Void, was closed on February 13, 2023, after Hun Sen said it had not properly apologized for a story that he claimed had slandered his son. Lieutenant General Hun Manet, the story said his son signed a document on his father's behalf authorizing a $100,000 donation for quake relief for Turkey. Hun Sen said the article misrepresented the fact that only the prime minister has authority to make decisions on foreign aid. VOD acknowledged it had made a mistake, but Hun Sen said its statement was unsatisfactory. Hun Sen has led Cambodia with an iron fist for 38 years. The closing of VOD has triggered a torrent of criticism from rights groups and some Western governments. I don't know if the U.S. is one of those governments. But he took to close down, like Russia closes down stations, Cambodia did. I'm sure there's so many independent stations around the world that was on the air doing great work that were shut down by the government because they weren't, you know, falling in line and being great little, you know, yes sir, no sirs, walking the straight line that the government puts out. So stations like ours and KPFA down in San Francisco, or Berkeley, I think, and anyone in LA and up in Seattle, but there's a lot more. Even Lincoln, Nebraska has a independent radio station that my friend Gary listens to quite a bit. But there's so many, and if they could close it down on us down on something simple, like they didn't appreciate the apology by those people in the government, you know, didn't appreciate what they did and shut them down, you know, that's a real, real problem. But so far, we've been sued a few times, but we always come through it. And I'm trying to get down here to the stories I'm going to do. But also, KBOO Community Radio Earth Day, April 22nd. Online at KBOO.FM Earth Day. Music, nature sounds, activists, interviews, environmental justice. It's from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. at 90.7 FM. That sounds great. I remember back when Earth Day was really a big thing here in Portland, and we did a lot of good things on Earth Day. People still do some great things on Earth Day, and when I was a child, I remember my father did construction work. He highway construction work. And he worked on a rock crushing plant and, you know, different things like that. And I remember when I was a kid, I would watch him do the digging up of the rocks and all that, and have these big, huge pits they were digging rocks out of. And that was just one company. And just think of the thousands of companies around the world, probably millions of companies around the world, doing the same thing. You know, digging the rock out of the ground. And, you know, and I thought, you know, I'll bet somewhere hidden deep in the earth, there are these little people who keep an eye out to keep the earth level, to keep it spinning in the right direction and not falling over or whatever. And they're down there and they have this one huge rock on this pedestal. And every time somebody digs up something to tip the world over, they move that rock. You know, that's what keeps us steady, you know? And I thought, man, that, you know, if that's, you know, it's not true, but it was in my mind as a little child. I thought, you know, that's pretty cool that there's people out there thinking of the world, you know, thinking of the world to keep it great, to keep it going. So, let's see if this thing works. My printer died, and I bought this new printer, and I don't know how to fix it up, because I like to use my telephone hotspot to put on my computer, but I don't know how to hook the computer to my printer with the hotspot. And so I've been really, and then a friend of mine, Tracy, she's works for the state, and she hasn't been around, you know, come and help me, but I'll figure it out. So, but I was going to talk about, you know, I started the show with War by Edwin Starr, who passed away a few years ago. And I was thinking, you know, talk about polluters. Some of the worst pollution in this country, and I'm sure in other countries, are military bases. They are the big, huge polluters. And I'm thinking of Camp Lejeune back in, I don't know if it's North or South Carolina, I don't know, it's one of them. And, you know, their water supply for, you know, I don't know how long, but quite a while, you know, poison the people on the base. Not only the Marines, you know, going through and everything, but also the families that live on the base. You know, the children drinking that water. You know, that's a real, real problem. But that's just one military base. You know, there's so many. I know that they closed Fort Ord down in California, down by Carmel by the sea. I know they closed that one down, but I bet they had to do a lot of cleanup before they opened that up for the to let people, you know, come in and do building on it. And I bet you, still down there, they're still getting ordnance, you know, around those firing practice places and you know, the bombing and everything they do on those stupid bases. I bet they're, you know, I bet those are still off limits. Boy, my mouth's really dry. And I was thinking back more, again, when I was a child, the Korean War, World War II had ended in 45. And the Korean War, I believe, started in 1950 and ended in 1953. And my uncle was killed in the Korean War. And I remember talking to my mom and about the war, you know, about World War II. And she had been a riveter in one of the airplane factories. And we were talking, and I asked her, how was Dad when he came home? And she says, well, you know, he was really different before he went. And we talked a little bit about that, and we talked about my five uncles who also fought in World War II and how that really affected, you know, our whole clan, our whole Simmons clan, how that had affected everybody. And, you know, the wars just keep going. They keep going and going and going and going. You know, the U.S. Just ran out of Afghanistan and left a mess for the people of Afghanistan. You know, it's kind of like when they pulled out of Vietnam, you know, 1973. If you look at the film of what was going on in Afghanistan when the U.S. was pulling out, and then look at pictures and videos of what was going on in Saigon when the U.S. ran off and left the people there, you know, on their own. Same with Afghanistan. You know, Afghanistan still has a lot of unspent ordnance, you know. Oh, man, I remember when the U.S. first started bombing there, you know, they had these cluster bombs and those little other bombs that looked like little toys come out. I can't remember what they called. But children were picking those up, and, you know, and then they would explode. And a lot of children were hurt by those dang things. And then I talked to my brother about war a lot, and I'm so glad he had a really high draft lottery number and he didn't have to go. I'm really, really glad for that. But we talk a lot about it. And as I was coming home, I'd been down there visiting my brother down in Yahats, and I was coming home, and on the radio, I was listening to the radio, and they were talking, you know, the anniversary or something of 20 years, you know, pulled out and all that, and what a mess. You know, to get us into that war, they lied just like they always lie for, you know, getting us into war. You know, they kind of go through the back door and all of this, make up all these stinking lies that they always do, and they throw our guy, us, into this meat grinder that they call war. And I was, you know, the U.S. pulled out of there, and I thought, wow, you know, here they did it again. And then they said there's a battalion of troops still in Afghanistan. A battalion, that's around 1,000 guys, or men and women. You know, a battalion is still there. You know, this, like I said, it just never ends. It just never, 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 never ends. And then this morning I was listening to, I have a radio. When I'm taking a shower, I like to listen to the radio. And they were saying that, I think of Sudan, you know, there's a war going on in Sudan, and they were talking about the U.S. has sent troops to the neighboring country. I can't remember what it is, but in case they have to pull, the, you know, get the embassy people out. But what caught my ear was they said, we have our troops in our military base in this country. In Africa, a military base in this country in Africa. And I had been reading about, different countries having troops in these countries, you know. And it just, you know, just in my mind, I thought about, you know, the colonial days when they had their soldiers in these cities and countries, you know, to keep the people in line so that that country could get all the goodies out and bring them back to, like, England, you know. They could bring all the stuff that belongs to those people out of their country and take it to England or whatever country that's doing it. And that was, I'd been reading about Africa and about military bases and stuff in these countries. And the U.S. does say we don't have military bases in these countries. What they have, they go to other countries' military bases, and they have their little bitty section in that military bases. in that military forts or whatever they call them there. So the U.S. says, well, we don't have any bases in these countries, but they have American troops in these countries because they have a little section where they have American troops. So they lie to us. One thing I learned really, really, really early in my life is governments lie. They lie. And they send us to wars over lies. You know, I will never forgive this country for killing my uncle, having my uncle getting killed in Korea. And I'll never, ever forgive this country, this government, for what they did to us in Vietnam. You know, not just Americans, but the Vietnamese. What they did to that country, you know, killed millions of people. Put Agent Orange in that country that not only hurt us, but also still hurting the people in Vietnam and in Cambodia and in Laos. I've been reading these books and listening to these books on tape or whatever they are, you know, podcasts, you can do it. And they're talking about this organization, Military Citizens Command Vietnam Studies and Observation Group. And what it was this secret, that basically they were special forces guys, you know. But they had some Marines and Navy in there, you know, and stuff. But they, the United States said that they don't send, you know, combat troops into Laos and Cambodia. Another lie. Because the Ho Chi Minh Trail, the supply trail, came down into Laos and into Cambodia and then went into different places into Vietnam. And what these guys would do, they would have some indigenous personnel, either Vietnamese or the mountain yards, the people that lived up in the mountains, up in the Central Highlands, or, you know, mercenaries that they hired to go with them. And so they had nothing on them that showed that they were Americans. I mean, nothing. They were completely, they carried nothing, you know. But they did carry American weapons because the Vietnamese had them and the Cambodians and Laotians had them, so they were something different. But what they would do, they would send these different places, these different troop guys with their Cambodian or Laotian, you know, so many of them, and they'd go into Laos or into Cambodia. And their job was to watch the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Their job was also to capture, if they could, a Vietnamese coming down from the south. So they would blow up some, you know, part of the road or whatever to stop the trucks, and then they'd, you know, go in and grab one of the drivers and try to take them out, you know, back to Vietnam. But they didn't do a very good job of that either. And also their job was to go and try to get American POWs if they could. They were being taken out of Vietnam and taken up the Ho Chi Minh Trail up to Hanoi, because I don't know if some of our listeners never heard the interview we did with Bob Chenoweth, who was a POW in Vietnam for, I think, 5.5 years. Bob was a POW in Vietnam. We did two shows with him, and he was talking about how the time that they took them, they lived in just squalor in those camps in those jungles. You know, a lot of guys died from diseases, and a lot of them, you know, doing that kind of, trying to live in that kind of environment, not getting a lot of food, you know, getting the diseases and the wild animals and different things. A lot of them died, And Bob talked about how they finally got those guys and they took them to walk them up the Ho Chi Minh Trail up to Vietnam and then put them in trucks and then take them into the capital of Hanoi. And he talked about that. And those are the kind of guys that the SOG, Studies and Observation Group, guys were just hoping they would be able to get some of those guys back. And they never did. And there was, I think that the SBACVEAST SOG, Studies and Observation Group, I think they had more Medal of Honor winners than just about any of the troops in Vietnam. Because it was a dangerous job. Man, I tell you, I was really surprised. Like, they still have like 25 Green Berets still missing in action, you know. And everybody that went into SOG, they were either wounded or they were killed. But they never were captured. They were never captured. But it was a dangerous job, but they, you know, it was a lie. It was a lie to send those guys into Laos, into Cambodia. You know, they lied to us again. You know, they even said that they did some missions into North Vietnam, but I haven't heard anybody on any of those podcasts I've been listening to ever say that they were one of them that went into North Vietnam. And they were under, they signed this non-disclosure. They were talking about this non-disclosure that they had to sign, that they couldn't tell anybody what they did, or they couldn't talk about at all for about 25 years after the end of the Vietnam War, Americans pardoned it in 1973. They couldn't even tell their moms, their dads, their wives. They couldn't tell anybody about what they had did. And if they were killed in Laos or Cambodia, their death would be said that they died in Vietnam. And the only people here in the States that got to see what the information they were bringing back, getting out of Laos and Cambodia, was the President of the United States and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the big generals in the Pentagon. I guess they did. They saw the information that was sent back. But they had 100% dead and wounded of their people that went into Laos and Cambodia. And if people don't think that, excuse me, my mouth's so dry, that there hasn't been special forces in Ukraine, you're not thinking straight, because they're there. There's just no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And they're training those the Ukrainian special forces and some of their elite troops besides, you know, the special forces. And now the, you know, there's a lot of explosions going on in Russia right now, and that's, you know, that's those guys doing that. They're training these guys to do that. I don't think probably that they go onto the Americans go into Russia with these teams that go in. They don't do that. But not too long ago, the Russians sent a rocket in and it hit a NATO command center and it killed, I can't remember how many NATO people that it killed, and also a lot of civilians that were hiding in there. But it also killed some Americans, and they're not talking too much about that. That the Americans got killed, you know, in that TOC, is what it really was, a talk place. Ty, you want to get ready to play that second song? Okay, Ty's going to play a second song, and I got some more I want to talk about. So go ahead, Ty, and go ahead and play it. My headphones aren't working, so I... There we go. I got it.
Do you mind if I sit here down by your grey side, and I'll rest for a while in the warm summer sun? I've been walking all day long and I'm nearly done. I see by your gravestone you were only 19 when you joined the glorious fallen in 1916. Well, I hope you died quick and I hope you died clean. Or Willie McBride, was it slow and obscene? Did they beat the drums slowly? Did they sound the fife lowly? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lowered you down? Did the bugles sing last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest? And did you leave a wife for a sweetheart behind? In some faithful heart is your memory enshrined. And though you died back in 1916, to that loyal heart are you always 19? Or are you a stranger without even a name, forever enshrined behind some glass pane in an old photograph torn and tattered and stained and fading to yellow in a brown other frame? Did they beat the drums slowly? Did they sound the fife lowly? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lowered you down? Did the bugles sing last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest? Well, the sun's shining now on these green fields of France. The warm wind blows gently and the red poppies dance. The trenches have vanished long under the plough. No gas and no barbed wire, no guns firing now. But here in this graveyard, it's still no man's land. The countless white crosses in you'd witness stand to man's blind indifference to his fellow man, and a whole generation who were butchered and damned. Did they beat the drums slowly? Did they sound the fife lowly? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lower you down? Did the bugles sing last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest? And I can't help but wonder now, Willie McBride, do all those who lie here know why they died? Did you really
believe them when they told you the cause. You really believe that this war would end war. The suffering, the sorrow, the glory, the shame, the killing, the dying, it was all done in vain. For William McBride, it all happened again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Did they beat the drums slowly? Did they sound the fife lowly? Did the rifles fire o'er ye as they lowered ye down? Did the bugles sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest? Did the bugles sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest?
That's one of the songs that, you know, really tells what it's like, you know? The suffering, the killing, the dying, you know? And what was it for, you know? And would you do it if you really knew what it was for, you know? The war to end all wars, you know, was the big thing. And that didn't work out too well, war to end all wars. World War One was just a slaughterhouse. Just a slaughterhouse of people being just torn apart, you know, just useless. It was useless war. All those poor people, you know, that died and were crippled and mentally harmed and everything. And I'm just so sick and tired of being lied to by the governments. And I've been really listening real close about what's going on in the South China Sea. The U.S. is really building up their military in that area. You know, they're putting in troops back into the Philippines. They're building up just so many, many, many. Japan is getting more American troops. Australia is giving many, many more troops. They're putting this line from Japan all the way down to the Philippines of military of U.S. military troops and building new bases. And I was looking to see, you know, how much and where they're putting them. And I got this about Australia. Then the U.S. says, we don't have any troops. We don't have any bases in Australia. Like I told you, what they do is they'll have, they go to a military base in whatever country they're in, and then they'll put American troops in that with all the buildings they need, you know, airstrips they need, whatever they need. And so they can say, well, we don't have any forts in these countries. There's a name for what they do, and I can't remember what it's called. But so I was looking at the bases that the Americans are in different places in Australia, and one is Pine Gap, and it's in Alice Springs, Australia. In use since 1966 up to the present, overall mission. Since the Cold War, Pine Gap has served as a surveillance base. It is jointly owned by the United States and Australia and was initially known as the Joint Defense Space Research Facility. The official name changed in 1988 to the Joint Base Facility Pine Gap and is responsible for monitoring the signals of satellites and intelligence signals, including microwave emissions, anti-missile and anti-aircraft radar, among others. And what you have to worry about is what's that others that they're not talking about. And here's the units that are stationed in our non-military base. Big surprise here, the Central Intelligence Agency. You know, who'd have thought? Also, National Security Agency. Who'd have thought? And here's one, United States National Reconnaissance Office, NRO. And that is probably one of the most secret of all of them. You know, they look at satellite maps, they look at airplane that takes pictures, you know, and all that. They're really, really a secret organization. And there's probably no way you can find out how many people they have there. It's just pretty, you know, they don't want anybody to know. And also, here we go, U.S. Naval Base in Australia, Naval Communications Station at Harold E. Holt. It's been in operation since 1967, general mission. The only other U.S. military base in Australia is the National Communications Station, Harold E. Holt, located in northwest Australia. You know, it's part of that belt they're putting around China. The station is operated and maintained by Australian Department of Defense and provides very low frequency radio transmission communications to the United States Navy, the Royal Australian Navy, and other allies. It serves as a communication hub for ships and submarines located in the Western Pacific and Eastern Indian Ocean. But what's, you know, what they didn't say since this was made, they haven't said, but American ships are now using that port. American ships are using that port that they don't have bases in. Okay, here's American military bases in Australia. And it doesn't tell you where they're all at. I can't. There's a bunch of them. I see at least 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. At least 10 bases that the United States they don't disclose what they do there or what, you know, what the reason for being Australia is. But we know, don't we, folks? We know why they're there. But you know, in the news media in this country, you're starting to hear more and more and more and more anti-China rhetoric and propaganda against China. You know, just like they do before they would go into other countries. You know, they always put this is bad, they do this is bad, and they won't let us do this. And starts adding up. And they say, well, you know, they do it to every person, country they're going to, you know. One thing that you have to really think about, you don't have to, but to think about is the United States doesn't have a huge enough military, counting all the military that we have, to fight a war with China. When they start opening up the draft, that's when you really know that something's up. When that draft starts, because they don't have enough men to go in and fight these wars. They may start it, but there's just going to be a slaughterhouse on both sides. When they need more and more, you know, bullet stoppers, bullet sponges. They'll start that draft up. Actually, they'll start it before, but it'll get really, really more when the bodies start coming back from this from the war, if they go into China or try to, you know, fight China. Because China is going to go, Russia is going to help China. There's just no doubt about it. You know, there's just no doubt that they will come to the aid of China because they have agreements. They have agreements. And another thing that the U.S. is really angry about is that there's these. It's called BRICS. It's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South. What's that big Thai? What's the big country where Nelson Mandela came from? Doggone it, I can't remember. But they also signed on to BRICS. No, I'll remember. Thanks, Ty. But what it is, it's going to be this. They're going to start this financial group, just like and they're going to try to draw down the ability of the U.S. to be the big, the U.S. dollar to be the primary thing doing business around the world. South Africa. Thanks, Ty. South Africa, they're part of it. It's called BRICS, B-R-I-C-S. And that's one of the things that the U.S. is, because if the U.S. dollar is not the main dollar that's used in all the businesses around the world, that's going to put a big loss to the United States. The World Bank. U.S. runs the World Bank. The president of the World Bank has got to be an American, I think. So that'll be another reason for the U.S., to begin. Because who's the two things in there? It's China and Russia. But they're building up all these things around China. They're doing... all this going to take is something stupid by somebody in one of these countries. The U.S. makes up a false flag operation, or China does something stupid, like ram a U.S. boat, a ship. Navy gets mad if you call them boats. Ships on the sea. Because the U.S. is saying, and these are, China went in and built all these islands in the South China Sea. And I think that the Philippines, South Korea is also part of this chain, this belt around China. But China went in and built all these military bases in the South China Sea, and the U.S. saying, you can't do that. It's open sea and everything. But China says, what are you going to do about it? And so they build all these things. And another, besides Japan and Australia and the Philippines, I think there's a couple more, but South Korea has a whole ton of American troops on their bases, on their land, military bases, a bunch of them. Somewhere I have, if I can find it, I'll have the numbers of the people stationed in Korea. But it's a lot. It's a lot. And one of the things that South Korea has done, there's this island off the southwest that Korea owns called Jeju Island. I think it's Jeju Island. And what they've done, it's, you know, from what I've seen, I looked, you know, pictures of it, everything, and it's a beautiful island, you know. But the Americans are also, putting more and more troops on Okinawa. That's another one of the places that is part of that belt around China, is the Okinawa, and they're putting a lot more Marines on that base, a lot more Marines. But Jeju Island is just beautiful island, just gorgeous island. And there was these huge protests by the people on the island against the military base on their island, because it's just, you know, it's so close you can almost throw a rock and hit China. But they made this big naval station on there. I mean, it's a big one. And the people of Jeju Island, boy, really protested against having that on that island, because that would, you know, if the U.S. starts a war with China and South Korea is, you know, buddy with the U.S., that they're going to be a big target, because with this huge naval base there. It is so big. Aircraft, American aircraft carriers, American submarines, American battleships can go there. In fact, our good buddy Mike Hastie, I think him and another guy went to Korea, and they got a flight to the island, Jeju Island. And before the plane took off, the Korean military or cops or somebody came on to the airplane and took them off. Wouldn't allow them to go to the island. They took them off the airplane. You know, they didn't want anybody to see, you know, Americans to go in there and see what a mess that's going to be. And like I said, the troops going into these other countries. But remember, we don't have, Jeju Island, that's what it is. Okay, we talked about Australia. Okay, let's go to Japan. But the American troops have been in Japan since the end of World War II, of course. And we got bases all over that place. And Japan has said that, okay, you can bring more troops on. You can bring more troops. And so U.S. military bases in Japan, there's Okinawa, Misawa, U.S. military base, Japan. It's on an island. Yokota Air Base in Fusa, Japan. Okay, then now we're going to the Army base. That was the naval bases. Army bases, Camp Zuma, Army base in Zama, Japan. Tori Station, Army base in Okinawa, Japan. Tori Station is currently the most important military base run by the United States of America in Japan. It is the home of the U.S. Army. It is located close to Okinawa in Yomita, it's this big island things. Although the profile of the base is military, it is also used for civilian needs. It supports most of the operations. Also on at that there, there's this organization. It used to be the Army Security Agency, but 1975 they combined all the military intelligence groups under one. It's called INSCOM, Intelligence Security Command, or something called INSCOM. And they're a big-time intelligence gathering thing, and they're on at Tori Station in Japan. In fact, guys from that organization were on one of the ships that started the in the Gulf of Tonkin. They were on that ship. They'd put a big Connex-looking thing on it. And had these army guys in there listening to what was going on in that part of Vietnam. And that ship's the Turner Joy. I don't think it's the Turner Joy, but it's the one that really gave Johnson the big ability to go in and start the big war in a big lie, you know, that and everything they were getting, they would give it, the Americans on that ship would give it to NSA, but they were doing a mission there, and I could get into all, I've talked about that before, but that's, you know, one of the flashpoints that caused the Americans to get involved in the Vietnam War. And that's really, I've talked about that a lot, the Gulf of Tonkin. Man, I just, every time I hear that, just makes me boil, you know, just anger, so much anger that it was such a lie. You know, that whole thing was a lie, the Gulf of Tonkin was just a lie. You know, they got us into the war. They didn't. When you read something about the Gulf of Tonkin and that day, August 2nd, I think it was, when that ship was in those waters with those spy guys on it, and the North, and see, Vietnam had been cut in half by then, by the whatever, but those torpedo boats came into, you know, go out and see what the heck was going on. And that ship fired the first bullet that started the Vietnam War. They never talk about that, you know, very seldom. I read about it once in this NSA thing. And, you know, they don't talk about that. You have to really look for that. That ship fired the first round of the Vietnam War. And it was a lie because Johnson lied, McNamara lied, got us into that war. Well, I'm running out of time. Camp Courtney Marine Base in Yuruma, Japan. Camp Foster Marine Corps Base in Genoa, Japan. Camp Fuji Marine Corps Base. I can't even say that. Where is that? Camp Hansen on Okinawa. That's another one. Camp Kinzer Marine Corps in Okinawa. Camp Lester Marine Corps Base in Chatan Town, Japan. Camp SD Butler Marine Corps Base in Okinawa. Camp Swab Marine Corps Base, Okinawa. I could go on and on, but we're running out of time. And I want to say some other things before we get done here. I got to go back into here. Thank you for, you know, putting up with my inability to use both my brain and my hands. I want to say again about Earth Day tomorrow, April 22nd. On KBOO.FM, Earth Day. And it starts at 6 a.m. Music, nature sounds, activists, interviews, environmental justice, and it goes from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. And I'm going to end our show now, and I want to thank Ty. He's done it twice for us. And we'll be back on May 19th at 9 a.m., Todd, and there it is. Ty, not Todd. Ty.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Say it again, y'all. Listen to me.
Turn
again.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9:59 a.m.
You're tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. Masks and proof of vaccination are required at this time. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm.